This Good Friday morning, we meditate on the Passion of our Lord, and we do so through a series of readings and meditations and pictures and prayers and songs. The artwork that we're going to project on the screen in a few moments' time is by an American artist. His name's up there, Leonard Porter. The art is a series that he painted back in about 2010 on the Stations of the Cross. We're just going to pick up seven of those artworks this morning. He was commissioned by Christ the King Catholic Church in New Jersey to do this work. And if you ever get a chance to visit that church, the originals hang there on the interior walls of that church. So our reflections this morning on the Passion account are adapted from something I prepared and preached a couple years ago in 2016 and have changed, adapted for this morning's purposes. So we turn our attention to the Passion in pictures as we join Christ and walk with him to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your cross, you have redeemed the world. The same crowd who once cried, Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, now cries out, Crucify him. It's amazing how quickly a crowd can change its tune. It's amazing how fast and how far humanity can fall. It's amazing how hard we find it to go against the voice of a crowd. Peer pressure, the popular vote, the prevailing opinion, the media. Do we dare stand against such powerful forces? But by the grace of God. What strikes me about this first image are the hands. Pilate points a finger at Jesus in judgment. The chief priests on the foreground, the right-hand side, clench their fists in anger, in resentment. The guards, you can see, hold tight to Jesus. Jesus' friends up in the background, one appears to be praying, another wiping tears from her eyes. If you focus in on Jesus' hands, his hands are bound. They are limp. They are pale, they are crossed over and cross-like. He holds in his hands, if you can make it out, a single reed. It reminds us of the words of Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Jesus' face in this image is full of sadness, but his hands, like his heart, are full of love. Full of compassion. For every bruised reed, every dimly burning wick, every member of that chaotic crowd, and every member of ours, fallen though we may be, as our hands condemn him, his hands prepare for their most important work to date. Let us pray. Almighty God, your dear Son suffered pain before joy and was crucified before receiving glory. Grant that the way of the cross may be for us the way of life and the way of peace. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. At both of my grandfather's funerals, I was asked to be a pallbearer. And as a relatively young child at the time, it wasn't something I found that easy, not physically easy and not emotionally easy either. But it was a great honor. It was an honor to be asked, and it was an honor to be part of it, and it was an honor to serve in that way. As Jesus' funeral-like procession to Calvary begins, we read in the texts that he falls several times under the weight of the cross. He falls onto the ground. And a man called Simon of Cyrene, and you can see him here depicted in yellow clothing, peasant's clothing, is coming in from the fields and is kind of dragged in to serve at this moment. Simon is given the difficult honour of serving his Lord in his final hours. As storm clouds begin to gather, you can see them there at the top of the image, there seems to be a strange light that emanates from down below. Jesus' garments are striking in their colour, blue and red, denoting both his divine nature, his heavenly nature, the blue, and his earthly nature, his flesh and blood nature, in the red. Like Simon in the picture, we too are called by Christ to take up our crosses and follow him. And the crosses we bear are not usually self-chosen crosses. They are crosses that are often thrust on us without our choosing. It might be ridicule for our faith. It might be conflict with our family. It might be bearing the burdens of other people. It might be all kinds of things. As we carry all of these things in close proximity to Christ, we are called to not give up, to not lose hope, to not allow the darkness to win out. We have the honour of reflecting something of God's goodness and his light to the people around us. And we have the promise that Christ will be our light as we journey through our dark valleys. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Help us to follow his example that we may share one another's burdens, living not for ourselves, but for others. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. As the earthly powers, the soldiers, and the horsemen gather, standing over Christ, exerting their power, making their presence felt, the faithful daughters of Jerusalem stand alongside him in solidarity with him. They reach out for him, they weep for him, they represent different classes, they represent different races, they represent the faithful but the vulnerable church of all ages, the church of which we too are privileged to be a part. Do not weep for me, Jesus says, but for yourselves and for your children. Jesus doesn't want us to pity him. He wants us to pity ourselves, the impact of our sin in our own lives and in his. The daughters of Jerusalem would experience that impact in a very real way, not many years after this event, when their city of Jerusalem, and particularly the temple within it, was brought to ruin by Roman forces. The most bowed down of these faithful women is draped in white, and white is the colour of hope. She looks Jesus dead in the eye, refusing to look away, refusing to turn, refusing to give up. She recognises him as the one who offers hope, the green wood that would sprout again from the stump of Jesse's tree. The hope of Jerusalem, the hope of nations, the hope of you and me. Whatever has come, whatever does come, whatever will come, let us also fix our eyes on Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray. Father, you show mercy rather than anger to those who put their hope in you. Teach us also to grieve for the evil we have done, so that we too may receive your gifts of life, peace, and hope. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. In the background of this image, you can see the darkness continuing to increase and the storm clouds continuing to gather overhead. But you can perhaps as well just make out in the background a bare tree looking stark and woody and leafless and nearly lifeless. It seems to be a little parable in the background of the image of what's happening in the foreground of the image. Jesus too is stripped bare, mocked and humiliated. The soldiers hurl abuse at him, both physical and verbal. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can do even greater damage. For those who have been victims of unkind words, victims of abuse, victims of hard and harsh treatment in their lives, Jesus suffers together with you. In him you have a fellow sufferer. In him you have one acquainted with grief. In him you have a man of sorrows. In him you have a guarantee from God that evil will not have the last word. Jesus is central in this image, dead center of the frame. He desires nothing less than to be central in our own lives, in our own churches, in our own communities. Whatever other ideas we have, programs we have, agendas we have, plans we have, whatever other hopes and dreams we have, we are called to allow them to center on and flow from and return to the man here in the middle. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. By his wounds we are healed. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you were stripped of your dignity on the cross, so that your saving love might reach all people. Clothe us with your Holy Spirit so that we may reach out our hands in love and compassion towards others. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Graham Kendrick writes, "Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered." As Jesus is nailed to the cross, the taunts in our text continue. But the image here by Porter depicts something slightly different, a shifting mood, a solemn mood, an eerie calm. It is serious and still. The wind, though, blows the soldiers' clothing to the side, and we're reminded of the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters of creation, blowing where and when he wills, and now present with Jesus as the new creation is ready to be ushered in. The only sound is that of the henchman's hammer driving in those nails, sending a chilling echo across an arid landscape. Perhaps we can see something of ourselves in the faces of those soldiers and those standing nearby. Looking on, unsure just how to respond, unsure just how it has come to this. And yet each of them has played their part in it. Each of them is culpable in it, as are each of us. They stand upright, they put on a brave face, while Jesus lays horizontal, almost expressionless. In the foreground, you might be able to make out there the stump of a tree, as this parable of trees continues through the artwork. I'm reminded of the words that we use for our seasonal preface before communion at this time of year. On the tree of the cross, he gave salvation to all, so that where death began, their life might be restored, and that the enemy who by a tree once overcame might by a tree be overcome. Trees, we know, are life-giving, and this tree called the cross was to be eternal life-giving. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer and die on the cross for our redemption, to deliver us from the power of the enemy by his glorious resurrection. May we each day die to sin so that we may live with him now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. One final act of surrender, one final act of humility, one final prayer to his Father before Jesus bows his head and breathes his last. Stephen Peach writes, "There is great silence in creation. The universe slips a cog. The sun is overshadowed, the ground is shaken, for the foundations of everything have moved. How can we begin to comprehend that this was all for us?" As the curtain in the temple is torn in two and falls dramatically to the ground, so the curtain falls on Jesus' earthly life. In the artwork here, we see Jesus' dying body and especially his head slumped forward towards his mother. Mary is depicted here on the side in blue, watching on, standing, welling, tears welling up in her eyes. She is comforted here by the Apostle John, who is depicted in green, the apostle to whom Jesus had entrusted her care. Even in death, it seems Jesus is only thinking about others, only seeking to comfort those around him, including his dear mother. Jesus seeks forgiveness for those complicit in his death. Jesus seeks paradise for even the most undeserving of watchers. The man to the left there is the centurion, and you might have noticed he appears in every one of these artworks. Initially, he looks very powerful and very strong and very commanding. As the scenes go on, he looks more unsure and more thoughtful and more considered, and now at this point, he opens himself, and you can see he's very exposed. He opens himself to Christ, to the man before him on the cross. And you might recall his words, "Certainly this man was innocent, and certainly this man was the Son of God." Whoever we are in this life, whatever our roles are, whatever our stations and vocations and jobs and positions we hold, we are called to that movement from power and strength to uncertainty and consideration and thoughtfulness and openness towards this man on the cross. We are called to see him at work in our work and how he wants to work in us and through us. We are called to speak openly for him and about him. We are called to serve the world around us based on what we have learned here at the foot of the cross. Let us pray. Merciful Father, our Lord Jesus suffered shame for our sake. Give us grace also to humble ourselves before him and before one another, that our sins may be laid bare and that we may know the power of your grace and mercy and forgiveness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. Sometimes God provides just the right person at just the right time for just the right reason in our lives. Joseph of Arimathea, who's pictured here in green, is that person at this time. He had the power, he had the position, he had the means, he had the willingness to give Jesus a proper burial, a burial that he otherwise may not have had. let's not underestimate any of these attributes and how wonderful they can be when used in God's service. Let's not underestimate how God can provide just the right person at just the right time for us. And let's not underestimate how God can provide and make us just the right person at just the right time for others. Jesus' body here is clothed in white and almost fluorescent, eerily white piece of cloth. His body, you'll notice, still bears the shape of the cross and the signs of the cross, as we know his hands and his side always will. But notice on the horizon, there is light. There is a gentle glow. And we see back there as well a sprouting tree. It's a palm, a symbol of new life, a symbol of victory, a symbol of what we know is yet to come on Easter Sunday. Sometimes God provides just the right person at just the right time. And the right person for all time is Jesus of Nazareth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, you rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day and so sanctified the grave to be a bed of hope for your people. Lead us to sorrow for our sins, which were the cause of your suffering and death, and grant that when our bodies lie in the dust, we may live eternally with you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.